I'm going to give you two scenarios here. One, you are the descendant of a tiny cell of primordial protoplasm washed up on an empty beach 3.5 billion years ago. You are a mere grab bag of atomic particles, a conglomeration of genetic substance. You exist on a tiny planet in a minute solar system in an empty corner of a meaningless universe. You came from nothing and are going nowhere. Or you are the special creation of a good and all-powerful God. You are the climax of his creation. Not only is your kind unique, but you are unique among your kind. Your creator loves you so much and so intensely desires your companionship and affection that he gave the life of his only son that you might spend eternity with him. Which one of those sounds more appealing to you? What believers are more likely to survive, prosper, and multiply? I would say number two. Which one gives you more of a sense of purpose? Which one requires a certain amount of faith? I'm going to say both of these require a certain amount of faith. Depending on what people you talk to, they will say they have more evidence than the other. You see, science can't prove that there is a God, but science can't prove that there isn't a God either. There are holes in both sides. Is there holes in Christianity? I would say yes, because we can't see God. We can't be face to face with our Creator while on this earth. Someday we will, amen? So there's holes in Christianity, but we fill those holes with faith. Just like in atheism, there is no absolute in their mind. So they fill their holes with faith as much as they hate hearing it. Everyone has faith in something, whether it be faith in Jesus Christ, the theory of evolution, nature, or astrology. Every day you step into your car, you have faith that you're going to get to your destination alive. Every morning you might wake up and jump in the shower. You have faith that the water's going to turn on. Pretty much everything you do in life needs a certain amount of faith. Faith is essential to life. Of course, having faith in God is a little more complicated than getting in a car or jumping in the shower. Faith in God is much bigger and much deeper than any other kind of faith. But to understand faith a little better, let's look at what faith actually is. Faith is defined in many ways. Webster's Dictionary defines faith as firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Mark Twain wrote in one of his books, "There are those who scoff at the schoolboy, calling him frivolous and shallow, yet it was the schoolboy who said, faith is believing what you know ain't so." An atheist once wrote, "Faith is believing in things you want to believe, but are absurd and don't follow from logic or observation." And the Bible defines faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." So if you look at the first three definitions, people define faith as believing in things that aren't real, believing in things that have no proof, or believing in things that don't follow logic or observation. God defines faith as being sure of what you hope is there and certain of what you do not see. It has nothing to do with proof or logic. It is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. When I look out in the world, I observe, and no way in my mind can it be an accident. I look at my body and I look and I study how it works. And logic tells me that I am intelligently designed. This cannot be a cosmic accident. It is one thing to believe in God, but it is another thing to have faith in God. I think that faith is one of the best gifts God ever gave us. But faith requires a relationship. See, Satan believed there was a God, but his lack of faith caused him to have doubts, and then he questioned God, which eventually got him and a third of the angels kicked out of heaven. You see, faith goes further than belief. It doesn't just acknowledge that there is a God. It says that God cares about his creation and cares about us as individuals. And it is possible to choose to have a relationship with him. A couple of weeks ago, I had a very interesting conversation with an old friend of mine. I knew him from when I went to public school, and we used to talk a lot, but we were never really close friends. He was your average Christian kid with very conservative values. But then one day that all changed. Now he's one of the most atheistic people I know. He's a modern-day hippie, so to speak. Anyways, he asked me, we were chatting on the internet one day, he said, "Do you believe in God?" I told him, "Yes, very strongly." And then I said, "I take it you don't." And of course he replied, "No." But then I asked him why. He said, "Because I questioned the Bible." All right, I told him, "I question the Bible every day. Questioning our beliefs is the only way we can reaffirm our faith." And he said, "Yes, but faith is illogical to me." Now, I could have argued with him any different way here, but instead I just said, "You know what, faith might be illogical, but it's the only thing in this world that makes sense to me." He said three words I'll never forget, three words that really hit me. He said, "I envy you." Here's a kid who wants to believe, but he can't. His human logic is telling him not to believe. Faith, he can't grasp it. It's just too hard. Now, I don't know what happened to him after that conversation, but I hope and I continue to pray that seeds were planted and that he will have an easier time seeing God in this world of darkness. This subject means a lot to me. I have people really close to me with the same belief as this friend of mine. It's hard to see a loved one like this. It's hard to see them without hope. It's difficult to grasp the concept that someone might not live in eternity with you simply because he or she doesn't want to. See, people look at the church and they see all of us imperfect people. They see it as causing violence and wars. But it's not about that. We might be imperfect, but we are standing on a perfect rock. Faith is not easy to grasp. It is not a feeling. It is more than a feeling. It is more than emotion. It is more than a passion. Faith is a commitment. It is not an easy commitment to make, but once you make it, you will know that it is well worth it. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, 4-7, it says, "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." So you see here, faith makes us heirs of righteousness. It allows us to please God, gives us rewards, and allows us to speak and live even after we die. Abel brought a better sacrifice than his brother Cain. Cain got jealous and murdered Abel. Verse 4 says that even though Abel had his life taken from him, he still speaks today. Enoch was a man who by faith walked so closely with God that he was translated into heaven before he ever had to experience death. Could you imagine that? Wouldn't that be great? But in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 14, it tells how Enoch prophesied about the end times. Enoch, the seventh descendant from Adam, is talking about our day. He's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. He walked so closely with God that he knew things beyond our imagination. And Noah, put yourself in Noah's shoes. Here's a guy who by faith builds a boat that's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. He had to spend years, I mean decades, building this massive structure. And all the while, he had to have faith that this flood was actually going to come. You know, there was no guarantee. Noah couldn't see into the future. But by faith, he put his life out there for God. And verse 7 of Hebrews says that he is an heir of righteousness because of his faith. Many rewards may come from faith, but we don't need to build a boat to get them. But like I said before, faith is not an easy thing to grasp. Faith is more than a feeling, more than an emotion, more than a passion. Faith is a commitment. Take marriage, for example. Married couples have that straight line of commitment, that straight line of love. But that doesn't mean they always like each other, does it? See, as humans, our emotions are constantly fluctuating, going up and down. But we have that straight line of commitment to lean back on. Faith is like the love in marriage. No matter how we're feeling towards God, no matter what our attitude is, we still have that straight line of faith and commitment to lean back on. Even though our emotions may change and our attitudes towards Him may not always be the same, faith is that straight line, that commitment in which we can rely on even when our emotions let us down. Faith in God requires, it demands a relationship. How is your faith? How is your relationship with God? Are you not feeling as close to Him as you'd like? Maybe you're having doubts about Him. Maybe your emotions and feelings are going wild. So how do we build up our faith? How do we make it stronger than ever? If faith requires a relationship, then you must work on your relationship. Prayer, study, worship, letting go of known sin. Faith isn't just some crutch. Faith is a lifestyle. Hebrews chapter 10, 22 says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." James chapter 2, verse 26 says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds." God could be calling you. He could be calling you to do something amazing. But the only way you're ever going to hear that is through faith. Faith is the foundation, the building block of your entire life. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13:13, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." I believe that. The greatest of those is love, but how do you get to that love? Let's see here. You have to start with faith. Once you have your building block, once you have your foundation laid, then you can start planning and thinking of what you desire to put on it. Some like to call that hope. Once you have your hope, you have firm belief, trust, and a relationship, then you are ready to go to a whole different level. And that is love. Let's look at this again, keeping Hebrews 11, 1 in mind. Sorry. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That makes sense? Can you see love? No, but you know it's there. You're certain it's there because you can feel it. John 1 John 4:16 says, "God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him." So if we go through faith and hope, then we can reach this excellent stage of love. This doesn't just apply to your relationship with God. This applies to your relationship with every person on this planet. Once you put faith in someone, then you can hope. And then you can get to that next level, which is love. In Matthew chapter 17, 14 to 20, I'm going to turn there really quick. Here, a man brings his epileptic son to Jesus, saying that he's brought them to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't get it out. Jesus had already told the disciples they had this power, but they couldn't get it out. So Jesus drives this sickness out of this boy. And then the disciples say, Why couldn't we do that? And Jesus tells them, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Earlier in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about the mustard seed. He says, "It may be the smallest seed, but once planted, it grows into one of the largest garden plants." So I'd like to suggest it wasn't the quantity of the disciples' faith, but rather the quality of the disciples' faith. But think, if you can move mountains with the faith of a tiny mustard seed, imagine what you could do with faith bigger than a mustard seed. We shouldn't settle for mustard seed faith. We shouldn't settle for something so small. We need bigger. We need complete assurance. We need to be certain of what we hope for. Or sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I'm sorry. But he says, in Paul's last days, he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So I say to you this morning, fight the good fight. Finish the race. And never, never lose the faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this concept of faith is not an easy one to grasp. But I pray that you reveal yourself to all of us in such a mighty way this morning. Help us to all want to improve our relationship with you. Help us to be better followers of your word. Give us a hunger for the truth, God, whatever that might be. Let's not dwell on what our friends tell us or what church tells us, God. Let's look straight at you. We want the hunger for the truth, God. You tell us you are the truth. You are the way. You are the life, God. And that's what we want this morning. Help us to be sure of what we are hoping for. Help us to be certain of what we do not see. God, I ask that you make it easy for all of us to strengthen our faith, that we might have faith bigger than a mustard seed, that we may receive all the rewards you have in store for us, God. God, I thank you for this wonderful Sabbath day. I ask your blessings upon everyone in this church, in this church, in our school, God. I pray that you be with all of us and help us to deal with all the problems we have going through faith. In Jesus' name, amen.